Hello, thank you for listening to this sermon from our Revive service. We hope it helps you learn more about God and allow you to grow closer to Him and in your faith.
If you have your Bibles and you're willing and able, would you turn with me to the book of Ephesians? Today we will cover Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Today is part 5, the last part of our walk worthy of your calling messages as we walk through Ephesians here. As you turn to Ephesians chapter 5, I want to just do share a couple things. First, if you need to sign up for the dinner for next week, out in the foyer at the Welcome Center is a computer, and so you're able to go to there and sign up. If you need to sign up, you can also click on the email bulletin as well if you want to do that at home, but you can sign up here this morning. Next week's going to be a lot of fun. Every Sunday's a lot of fun for me, but next Sunday is a lot of fun as we celebrate Georgia. 37 years. You'll hear me say that a lot. 37 years. Like, that's barely like where I'm, like, I'm barely old enough to know what 37 years is. Some of you, Jimmy, Nina, you guys aren't even like 37, are you, right? Like, you're not even, it's hard for you to comprehend how. You're getting there. You're feeling it. Yeah. But God is good, and we're excited next week to share that time and just the celebration with Georgia and Bernie and all that we have planned. So it's going to be a great Sunday. You don't want to miss it. Before we jump in here to Ephesians, I want to introduce to you somebody that you probably already know, but it's Lene Varner. It's my daughter. And Lene, I'm going to actually have you come. I know you're not ready for this, but I'm going to put you on the spot. Lene actually has joined us on staff. She is our director of children's ministry. She's part-time. So she's come on. She just graduated from Liberty last year. And I know some of you are like, well, she's your daughter. No wonder she got a job. Listen, the deacons council had a long meeting. They actually kicked me out of the meeting. I thought they were going to fire me and hire her. I was surprised that I still had a job. I was glad to have that. But we are super excited to have Lene. She did an internship two summers ago. And then to have her back now after her summer at Skyview as a program director. And there is something on her left ring finger, and we are grateful for that. We are thankful for that. Can't wait for that. I can wait. But if anybody would like to give any special gifts to the wedding fund for Pastor Aaron and Lisa, we would greatly appreciate that. No, this is Lene. I'll stop talking. And one of the things Lene said to me, she's like, Dad, I've been hired, but I'm not a member. How's that work? I said, well, I got hired as the youth pastor before I joined the church, but Rick Cortwesey made it very clear to me that our first Sunday that we were here, we had to walk the aisle and we had to join the church. And so I said to Lene, I said, I won't make you walk the aisle, but would you share a short testimony of how you came to know Jesus? And then we'll vote on accepting Lene as an official member of this church.
Hi, guys. if you didn't catch it, I'm Lene. Wait, so you just want me to share my testimony?
Sure, okay. Great. Cool. That'd be great.
I grew up here, so I've grown up my whole life hearing the gospel and what it means to be a Christian. I accepted Christ when I was like 4, 5, I don't know. I was around that age. After talking to my parents and discussing all of what that means. But then growing up in the church, just kind of followed what my parents believed and all of that. And I don't think it was truly until high school when I realized what it meant to own my faith as my own. And I, through like youth group, and I had some great Young Life leaders in high school who really took me under their wing and did a lot of Bible study. And I really learned what it meant there to make my faith my own and become a true follower of Jesus through that and understand what he wants for me in my life. Then I went off to school for 4 years and just continued to grow there. I got baptized here when I was 10, I think, with a lot of other people here. So that was fun. But yeah, anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay.
I won't keep you on the spot, but Lene, we're excited to have you here. We're proud of you and excited to see how God's going to use you as the director of children's ministry. I need a motion to accept Lene as Mike Fiume as member. Second, Carlton Buck. If you disagree on membership, say I do. And then if you agree, say amen. Lene, welcome. Thanks. Maggie Stevens told me that she learns best when I have illustrations. So I said, okay, Maggie, I'll make sure that I work better at that. So here's a mirror for you. Don't look at the dirty. I forgot to clean it. I'm like, well, it looked good in the dark. So when I took it from the basement. As we look at this passage today, we're just going to look at two verses. And in the conclusion of walking worthy of our calling, we've been talking so much about how we look at how God has called us as children, and we're reminded of that in this passage, but how we live and the choices that we're making are so critical and important to us understanding that I'm a child of God. The way I act matters, not for my salvation, but one, so that I can bring glory to God, but two, because I need to show Jesus to other people. God desires to use me to show Jesus, to show God to the world that is living out there. It's not because I have to live this way in order to earn God's favor or earn more of God's love. No, the truth is God's love is the most for you now and will always be at that same level. There is nothing, as a child of God, there is nothing that can separate us from His love. And so we live in such a way, walking worthy of the calling, because it's such a high calling to be called a child of the King, to understand that and grasp that every day that we live here on this earth, we have a responsibility. As we look at this, I won't make you stand this week, because normally if you're joining with us, normally I have a stand as we read the passage. But there's just two verses, and let's look at it. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We begin, Paul starts this section, he says, therefore, and I've said this a million times, I'll say it again. When therefore is there, you need to ask, what is it there for? It's a hinge. It's a two-way door that expresses and says, Paul's going to say this, but it is on the heels of something that he has been talking about. What he has been talking about is what this new life in Jesus Christ is to look like, of putting on this new self and taking off the old, of being able to say, listen, you are called as children to live this way. And because of that, you put on a new way of seeing life, the new choices, the new decisions. And you do that in such a way, as he ends the chapter 4, that you forgive, that you speak, that you, every aspect of your life, that you are living in a way that pleases God. And he sums it up, therefore, because of that, you are imitators of God. Now that's a high calling, isn't it? I mean, you think about, somebody says to you, hey, imitate God. We were with some friends this week and it was really cute. One of the little girls was imitating her family members. And she would get out of the pool and do a little, you know, imitate one, and we would guess. And then she would jump back in the pool and get out. And then she would imitate the next sibling. And then she started imitating her parents, which is always fun, right? You think about somebody asking you to imitate God. How would you imitate God?
What would that look like?
Paul is saying, listen, I want you to walk in such a way that you are imitating God. And then he gives us the summary of what that looks like. When he says here, be imitators of God as beloved children, he says to us to mimic or to imitate, to mirror everything that I read, that I see. That's why the mirror is here. When you come to a mirror, you see everything in it, right? If I hold this up to Maggie, yay. Maggie, what do you see in there?
I see me.
You see you. And if you raise your hand, what happens? Raise your hand. Oh, did you see it?
Yes, I do.
You talked. That means your lips moved. Does that mean that it moved in the mirror?
Yes.
Now, I will just say, if the mirror doesn't show that and you do that, we're in trouble, okay? The mirror shows us everything that we do. And God is trying to help us to see through Paul's word. He's saying to the church, listen, you are mirroring, you're reflecting, you're imitating what God desires for you. And he says this phrase, as beloved children. The Greek actually has it in this way, as children beloved. Meaning this, that we are children loved by God. So regardless of how you look, that you're loved, Paul's reminding them, listen, you may have made mistakes. You may have messed up. You may have fallen short. But as you reflect, as you imitate God, understand and know you are His. You are a child of the King. Which motivates us as we look at the next part of that. The next verse, we're reminded and to say, walk in love. Now again, that word love has been used a lot in our culture, in our time, and it's defined in a lot of different ways. Paul actually defines what love is right here. And let me remind you of what John has to say about love. We know love because God first loved us. The only way that we can comprehend and that you can understand what love is because God has shown it to us. So any definition, any way that you try to define love separated from what God says is not true. It's not the truth. And so as we look at how we define love, how you ever define what love is, go to the Word and understand and know that the beginning of love is to think that God first loved us. And so for me to even comprehend and understand what love is, it started with God. He says here, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Let me back up in just a minute. As beloved children, we are children beloved. We've been adopted. Paul says in the first part of this letter, in chapter 1, verse 5, where he's already shared with us the opportunity that in love, God predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. God adopted us. We are his beloved children, members of his household. I won't take time to read it, but in chapter 2, verse 19, and chapter 3, verse 15, we've been told that we get to be part of God's household. Our heavenly Father has claimed you and me as his own. We are his beloved. Paul goes on, and he writes to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14 and 16, where he says, listen, I don't want you just to be imitator. I want you to imitate me as we're part of the family. I want you to intimidate me. What a high calling that Paul has put here. As your spiritual father, Paul says, I want you to see me as your father, the one who has taught you truth. And knowing that truth, that you would imitate me. How many of you would sign up for that today? To sign up and say, yes, you can imitate my life. That's our calling, though. Since we've been shown much love, we get the opportunity to show much love. We get to walk in love in a constant pursuit in the footprints of our Savior Jesus. Jesus died for us. Jesus showed us love in that fact that he paved the way to a relationship to him, but he paved a way to help us to see what does it mean to love? What does it mean to walk in a manner worthy of our calling? It's sacrifice. I remember being really little, and I remember following my dad out, and we would go, and we'd feed the dog, and we had some other responsibilities and chores, especially during the wintertime, but I remember vividly walking in the snow, in the deep snow with my dad, and I remember following in his footsteps, and I remember putting my boots on and thinking I was big stuff, and I would step outside of my dad's footprint, and man, it was really hard. But as long as I tried to stretch my legs as far as I could as a little kid, I could stay in his feet print and I could maneuver through that deep snow. That's what God is showing us here, that we have these feet print that have gone before us, the Savior who has paved the way. And Paul is saying here, I want you to walk in this same manner of love that Jesus has shown us. It's the ongoing efforts of our love that is shown as we exemplify Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Notice the words here, walk in love as Christ loved us. Christ, the Messiah, the terminology here I think is important as we read it. As Christ, the Messiah, the one who gave his life, the one who came to save people from their sin. Jesus' whole purpose of coming to the earth was to die and rise from the dead. So walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. We are reminded that love is self-sacrificing. As followers of Jesus, we die to ourselves to live for Jesus. That's how we walk in love. We imitate God by giving up whatever we personally desire, our own desires, our own temptations as they come along. And whatever the world says that we need, we look at God and we ask him, is that what he wants? It reminded me as I was studying through this week of the WWJD bracelets. Any of you who are really old, you probably remember those, and I know they've come back somewhat. Really neat story of how this was based on Charles Sheldon's 1896 novel, In His Steps, What Jesus Would Do. In the book, Reverend Henry Maxwell challenged his congregation to live for a year guided by the question, what would Jesus do? In the late 1980s, a youth leader in Holland, Michigan, Jenny Tinkelberg, read this book and she wanted a tangible way to encourage and to remind her youth group to live this message out. And so they made these bracelets as a visual reminder that as they made choices in light of what Jesus taught, were they pleasing him? Now, I don't have bracelets to hand out to you this morning. But as we look at this, we see that's what this is all about. To walk in love means I ask myself, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus love? How would Jesus live? What would Jesus choose? Jesus is our example, the Messiah, the Christ. And ultimately, we live in such a way, sacrificing to ourselves so that we may please one. Not please others, but in pleasing that one, we reach others with love, with the gospel. That's why my life verse has been when God called me at an early age to youth ministry. And I'm thankful for this verse, Galatians 2:20. It's a verse that has hung on my mind and my heart for all these years, and I'm grateful for God's grace and his mercy. I haven't yet arrived, but I seek this. I seek to live this out, and I pray that we would seek to live this out As we think about Paul and what he says, I am crucified with Christ. Talking about what we just see here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. About we walk in love as Christ loved us and gave his life for us. We are crucified. We die to ourselves. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's not about my identity. It's about the Messiah, the one who saved me. That's my identity. What's your identity look like when you look in this mirror? Is it you or is it Jesus? Sometimes it's me. But we strive to remind ourselves that the life that we now live in the flesh, because this life is short, is it not? One minute is here, the next it is gone. James said it's like a vapor. But the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's our Savior. That's Jesus. That's how we walk worthy of our calling. Notice the end of this verse in verse 2, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. It says, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This expresses the pleasure, the joy of Christ's sacrifice. It takes us back to the Old Testament, and when a sacrifice was offered to God, that aroma was pleasing to God as they sacrificed unto him. Here's Christ who sacrificed his life, and it is that sweet aroma to God. It pleased God. It is a call for us to walk in such a way that our lives would be that sweet aroma to God. God doesn't desire just for our lips to say all the right things. The scriptures tell us he doesn't even desire a sacrifice. What he wants is our heart. And as my heart searches the word, as my heart is in tune with the Spirit, allowing God to lead me, not myself, not the world, not social media, not my friends, but I allow the word of God to guide me and lead me, that I can walk in such a way that pleases him. That's an aroma that goes to God. It's a sacrifice. Where it's pleasing to God, but it also allows the lost to see God. God wants to use us to show himself to others. That's why it's not about your life. It's not about pleasing you. It's not about you obtaining or getting more or just even doing all the right things. It's about you showing Jesus to others. We imitate God so that others see God and not us. And the only way that that's possible is if we die to ourselves. And so this morning, my plea to you is that you will die to yourself. That you will see on a continual manner. Remember, this isn't just one decision. This is a lifelong, ongoing decision. It's an ongoing pursuit to walk worthy of our calling. And yet we must be determined. We must set it on our mind that is how I'm going to live. So we must be imitators of God, and we do that by what? Walking in love. We've seen in chapter 4, verse 1, the call to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. Walk in love. That love is sacrificial love. We sacrifice as our Savior did for us. Our Savior died so that we could be saved. We sacrifice our lives for the King, and so that others may see his great glory, so that they would come to know him, so that they could spend eternity in heaven, so that they could see his goodness and experience his peace, the same peace that you and I have, the same comforts that we have, that we could talk in our Logos class this morning, that God shall supply all of my needs. that through Christ, I can do all things, whether I have plenty or whether I have little. Who can experience that in the world today? Those who know Jesus. We get to live that out. In all we do, we get to enjoy as children of the King. You get to enjoy life today as a child of the King. But let me tell you, as you look in the mirror and as you imitate Jesus, if you don't see Jesus in the mirror, how are you doing in enjoying the life of a king? The presence of the king, the promises of a king. Walking worthy of our calling is a difficult call for us. It's a challenge that we every day struggle with. But we don't give up. We don't fail in striving because of what's at stake. What is at stake is not your salvation. It's bigger than you. That's why when we look, we have to see something bigger than ourselves. We have to see Jesus. And we have to see a world that desperately needs him. We know that they desperately need him. The way that they will know him is by the way we love each other and the way that we live. Walk worthy of your calling. That means you don't walk as the world walks. You don't get to do what the world does. You're different. You walk as Jesus walks. Self-sacrificing. With your eyes on him. Walking in his footsteps as he leads us. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the way you provide for us. You haven't just placed us here as your children, Lord, in a way that we have to figure it out, or we have to supply our own needs, or that we wonder what is right, what is truth. No, your word is truth. You've given us everything that we need to live this day, this week ahead, and the years ahead. Lord, I pray that you would put a hunger and a desire in our hearts and our minds. Lord, even this day, that we would be determined to imitate you, that our lives would reflect Jesus, that as people look in the mirror, they would see Jesus in us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be willing to give up the enticements and the things around us, the desires of our flesh, the desires of our eyes, even the pride of life, Lord, the things that can so easily entangle and ensnare us, Lord, we ask for your help. And we ask for your Spirit to lead us and guide us, that we would walk worthy of the calling that you've given us. Thank you for the reminder this morning that we are the beloved. We are your children. As we even sang, to think about your house, the Father's house that you have given to us that we will one day enjoy. Lord, our lives here on earth are short. And so help us to make the most of this day and this week and the years to come. I pray again, Lord, that you would help us as the body of Christ here at West Hill to walk worthy of the calling you've given us. It's for your glory. It's for your kingdom. It's not so that we can puff ourselves up. We want to give you the praise and the thanks and the glory because of your great love. So help us, Lord, to strive to live in a way that pleases you. May it be a sweet aroma as we live our lives this day and this week ahead. We love you and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Hope you have a great week.